Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. So we're going to do something this morning. I knew that my time would be brief, and I want to then give you a particular way to look at this Psalm. It may be something that you already know. It may be brand new to you. Why the 23rd Psalm? Well, first of all, because it's in our series we've been working through. But secondly, the 23rd Psalm is consistently the most popular psalm out of the 150 psalms. It is definitely the psalm that is read at many different occasions. Spurgeon called this the pearl of psalms. So what is it about it that makes it so attractive? Well, I think the attractive nature of it is that you can personally connect to it because of the recognition that we all have of the need of a shepherd in our life. We all feel that. We need somebody to guide us and we need somebody to guard us. We need somebody to feed us and we need somebody to lead us. We need somebody to protect us and we need somebody to provide for us. And so the 23rd Psalm is teaching us that the Lord is our shepherd. But specifically this morning, I'd like us to look at it through the lens of the New Testament. And I'd like to use it this morning by saying that actually when it says the Lord is my shepherd, it's saying that Jesus is my shepherd. So let's read it this morning and then I'll give you some highlights on this psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, this is obviously written by King David. We also know that David had a greater son. That greater son was Jesus. So two questions I want to try to ask and answer this morning. Number one, why do we ascribe this psalm specifically to Jesus? His name is obviously not mentioned here because when we look at the opening phrase, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And yet, that name Lord is very important. Would you notice it's all in capital letters? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That name is used 6,800 times in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew language, it's only four letters. YHWH. If you said it in Hebrew, you would say Yod Heh Vod Heh. That's God's name. We have put or inserted vowels into those letters, and we have come up with names like Yahweh or the name Jehovah. But the point of the matter is, it's actually referring to God's name. Fact is, if you'll look here at the lattice. If you'll notice, the name in the middle is the Lord's name. It's the name I just gave you, YHWH, Yod Heh Vod Heh. The name here is referring to God's personal name. It's like we would say, "What is your name?" and you tell me your first name. This is God's personal name. It's the name that God gave to Moses when Moses asked, as he heard God speak out of a burning bush, "What do we call your name?" And what did he say? In Hebrew, he said this name, but in English, we translated, "I am that I am." He said, "I am." Simply means that God is the self-existing God. He's the one who exists by himself. He exists in himself and he exists for himself. He depends on nobody for existence. We depend on him for everything in our existence. Now, why is this so important? Because in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders and he tells them that he lived before Abraham. And they said, how in the world could you have lived before Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. And Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. And Jesus replied and he said these words, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. What was he saying? He was identifying himself, Jesus, in the New Testament as Jehovah in the Old Testament. You say, how do you know that those that heard him understood that this is what he meant? Because the Bible says they picked up stones to stone him because he, being a man, was making himself equal with God. Jesus is claiming to be the Lord, Yahweh, of the Old Testament. So when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, we know from the fullness of divine revelation, our full comprehension of the Bible, that he was saying that Jesus is my shepherd. So we see him fulfilling this role of the shepherd here in Psalm 23. One other thing about the name Jehovah, and that is the name Jehovah has compound names, Jehovah slash, and then there's another name that follows. You and I understand that. We all have personal names, but we have compound names. For example, my personal name is Steve. But there are names also that I answer to, like son or brother or dad or pastor or evangelist or doctor or president or sweetie pie, whatever. My name, personal, compound, has to do with my relationship with people and the things I do in their life. And what we find here is how it is that Jesus is our shepherd. And we see this, that the compound names are also seen, or they're implied in this statement. So let's look how Jesus is my shepherd, and we'll walk through this very quickly. Number one, the first thing we see truly is that Jesus is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd. Jesus called himself a shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10 and verse 11. Every positive Old Testament image of a shepherd is a reflection of what Jesus is for us. Jesus is the one who shepherds us. Number two, Jesus is my provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Notice what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean when we shall not want? It doesn't mean that God gives us everything we want. The word want here is describing our needs. David is telling us that because of the Lord, we will never lack what we need. Is this not the promise of the New Testament when Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? You say, how is it that I can be confident that God will provide for me? Everybody here needs a provider. How can I be confident of that? You remember the story that Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son Isaac? And what did he do? The two rode on the back of donkeys from their home in Hebron, which is in the southern part of Israel, up to what was known as Mount Moriah. When they arrived at the mountain, Isaac asked his father, he said, Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham replied and said, God will provide for himself the lamb. Did God provide a sacrifice? Yes. For when you read the story in Genesis 22, a ram was caught in the bushes, and that ram was taken by Abraham and sacrificed. And what did Abraham call the place of sacrifice? He called it Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. It literally means God sees. And the idea of God seeing is this. If God has prevision, he sees the need, then God has provision. Now, fast forward 2,000 years and go back to the same Mount Moriah. And what is it 2,000 years later? It is the city of Jerusalem. It is where the temple is built on top of Mount Moriah. It is in the city there of Jerusalem where God provides our greatest need. What is that? It is a lamb. And who is that lamb? It is Jesus Christ. Because God saw the need of our salvation before He ever created the world. And so He has provided Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world. And Paul takes the logic of the cross and he shows us how God will provide our needs. He says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" And here's what Paul is saying, that if God provides our greater need, will He not provide our lesser need? Jesus is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. I called up a friend of mine a few years ago and I said, "How you doing, brother?" And his response burst out over the phone. He said, "Jehovah Jireh." And I said, "What'd you get?" Because obviously God had provided the need. And then notice number three, it says here, Jesus is my peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." The word for peace in the Bible is the word shalom. And there are many English words that describe it. Wholeness, wellness, fullness, contentment, happiness. And what he is saying here is that Jesus is the one who shepherds me into a peaceful environment. Sheep by nature are fearful, nervous, insecure. They struggle with their mental health. The role of a shepherd is to lead sheep to a place where they can be nourished and satisfied, where security can be provided from dangers and threats, where they can lie down and be at rest. The word "lead" here means to guide to a watering place, a place where they can drink and rest. Sheep don't drink out of a flowing stream. And so oftentimes a shepherd will take stones and dam up the water in order to create an oasis of calm water for sheep to drink. The shepherd provides all the essentials for a shalom environment, food, water, and rest. So what do we have to do? We have to trust and follow Him and depend upon Him. And then He says, "He restores my soul." What does that mean? It means that sheep are prone to wander and stray away. The word "restore" means to turn back or to repent, to come back to the Lord. We know that Jesus told the story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one went astray. And what did He do? He went after the one and He left the 99. There's not one person in this room who strays away from the Lord where God is still not your shepherd. And He comes after you. Let me also say that sheep aren't going to win the intelligence award. They're probably not going to make Dean's List. And they often get hurt. They often do stupid things. And they get bruised or they get cut. And what does the good shepherd do? He binds his sheep up like little children who fall and skin their knees. We read in Ezekiel, "I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick." Spurgeon said it this way, "When the soul grows sorrowful, He revives it. When it is sinful, He sanctifies it. And when it is weakened, He strengthens it." Jesus is my peace, Jehovah Shalom. And then notice number four, Jesus is my guide. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Shepherds lead their sheep throughout the hills of Judea. I've been there many, many times to Israel. And when you look at the hills, you can see thousands of well-worn paths. Not just one or two, but thousands of them. Some paths lead to food. Other paths lead to cliffs and crevices that are dangerous. And only the shepherd knows the right path for the sheep to take. Only the shepherd can keep his sheep from going the wrong way. What is he saying? Jesus is our good shepherd in that He guides our lives. Without Him, we will go astray. But by His leadership, we can go in the right way. You're trusting the Lord with your future. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, my guide, my righteousness, to lead me in the right way. Then notice number five, Jesus is my protector. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He's the Lord who fights for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Israel is a land of hills and valleys. Valleys are known as wadis. They're dry riverbeds. During the winter season, when it rains, they become very dangerous places. They are all, the valleys are not only dangerous places, but they're dark places because oftentimes the sun is obstructed by steep cliffs. And this valley of the shadow of death literally means the place of a death shadow. Wild animals lurk in the shadows. We know because David killed a lion and a bear when he was protecting his flock as a shepherd. And what did David carry to protect his sheep? A rod and a staff. What was a rod? It's about 2 feet long. It was basically used to whack things, hit them in the head. And what was the staff? It was a long pole that had a crook at the end of it. It was used to pry sheep loose from the thickets, to push branches aside, to pull fallen sheep out of holes, to lead them through narrow paths, or to drive off snakes. And what he's saying is that the presence of the shepherd means the absence of fear. We are never so conscious of the presence of God as when we pass through life's valleys. When you pass through the waters, God says, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I am Jesus, your protector, Jehovah Nisi. And then finally, number six. He says here, Jesus prospers me. He is Jehovah Makadesh or Makodesh or Kodesh. It's the idea of sanctifying us. Notice he says he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. David constantly encountered deadly enemies who sought his destruction. At the same time as they were seeking to destroy him, God was reversing things and was seeking to prosper him. We know this is true in our own life, that oftentimes our adversities becomes God's opportunities. When he says, you anoint my head, it's the idea that he was set apart for the Lord. That happened when he was a 17-year-old boy. And what came from that anointing? It came the rich and abundant blessings of God. What he was saying is that my life was constantly running over with God's blessings. We are incalculably rich in Christ. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ according to the riches of his grace. And so we come to the conclusion of Psalm 23. And what does he say in testimony of his confidence in the Good Shepherd? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Spurgeon tells a story that rich people back in the days in England had their own horses and carriage. And you always had a driver sitting up in the front driving the carriage. And in the back, if you're a wealthy person, you had two footmen that was standing on the back of the carriage. And he took that illustration and he says, everywhere I go in my carriage, I have two footmen who follow me. I have goodness and I have mercy. God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word dwell is the same word we use up in verse 2 and 3 where it says restore. It simply means that I will keep going back to the house of the Lord forever and ever throughout the whole of my life because of God's goodness and God's mercy. Jesus is my shepherd. Lord, we thank you for what you have said in your word about yourself, that we can trust you for who you are. Lord, thank you that you are our banner. You fight for us and you are our sanctifier. You are Jehovah Makadesh. You are the Lord who heals us. You are the Lord who shepherds us. You are the Lord who provides for us. And Lord, help us throughout our journey to trust you in all things. Thank you that your goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.